see how the first council went. They saw the work of God. They discerned it. They listened to Peter and speak of the work of God. He's telling about that time we've already read about, huh? When that cloth was lowered down to the ground for him, and he was told, eat these animals. And he said, I can't do that. They're unclean. And the voice said, don't you call unclean what God calls clean. So then when these messengers came from Cornelius, the centurion, the pagan, he went with them, entered their house, ate with them. All of this is shocking. See, in our culture where, you know, we meet together, we have a meal together, we go to McDonald's or something, you see? I mean, like, this is so... Well, the only thing close to it is the Sharia, you know, the law of the Muslims these days, you know. Then Paul and Barnabas got up and talked about the signs and wonders, you see. We're looking for God's will, so we're looking for where he's acting. We're not just looking it up in a book. And then the word that confirms the discernment. James gets up, the Bible man, and says, you know, Simeon, I don't know why he calls him Simeon, has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from the Gentiles a people for his name. There's no doubt in James's mind that what the Lord did with Peter, what he did with Barnabas and Paul, was God's work. Now he finds this confirmation of it in this text from Amos. I shall return and build the fallen hut of David. Rebuilding the fallen hut of David is what? The Son of David, risen from the dead, glorious and Lord forever. That's the house of David. The prophecy is fulfilled. And so, and then this translation, but it does it. The rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles. And so it's been already prophesied in Amos. We've heard our brother Peter, we've heard our brothers Barnabas and Saul recount how God is actually doing this. So therefore, we shouldn't lay any more burden on the Gentiles than the Lord has. Except what's called the Noachic laws. Some basics that, you know, don't go near idols. Don't marry within the wrong bonds of consanguinity. And stay away from strangled animals and blood. To this day, the Semites are like that, you know. At the École Biblique, when I lived there in Jerusalem, people would knock on the door and say, can you come and give blood to my mother? She's dying. And I'd say, well, why don't you give blood? Well, I'm a Muslim. They don't pour out blood. So his mother would die unless some Christian went and gave blood. Interesting. But what I really want to talk about for just a little while here. Do you see how the Lord is opening up the very heart of the Trinity for us? We've had it now. This is the third day in a row that we have this. Huh? As the Father loves me, I love you. How does the Father love the Son? You know, infinitely, totally. And Jesus is saying, now that's the way I love you. Now remain in my love. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, he tells us. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Why? Because his commandments are truth. And if we live in these commandments, yes, the ones in the scriptures, the ones in the church, law of the church, but the ones in your heart, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, those are the commandments of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled with that person. Forgive that person. Preach to that person over there. keep my commandments. Now, why is he telling us all this? Not just back then. As Vatican II says, when the word is proclaimed, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. So he just told us these words this morning, ourselves. Why did he tell us this? I told you this so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. So his joy is to do the will of the Father, because the Father pours out this love. Now Jesus has poured out that love on us. And if we obey him, our joy will be complete.